Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Great. Coach, this is Dan Durkin with CBS Chicago. I was just wondering, did you ever think that the opportunity to become a head coach may not happen for you?
I guess sometimes you think that might happen. I wasn't obsessed with being a head coach. I was more obsessed with trying to do the best job I could, and you always hope for the opportunity. But I was happy with the things I was doing, the players I had. I guess you wonder sometimes when you see other people get jobs and you don't get them. I guess that's when you think that the possibility might not happen.
Hey, Mike, Dan Weeder at the Chicago Tribune. Does this game Sunday have any sort of homecoming feel for you at all?
Not really. I remember when I went the first time I went there when I was with the Cowboys. I had some of the media people I knew, and that seemed like a little bit of a homecoming. But we played there last year when I was in Cincinnati, and not really too much, to be honest with you.
Mike, Mark Potash from the Sun-Times. I'm sure as an NFL head coach, you can empathize with what I'm sure you can imagine Mark Trestman is going through in these tough times. But as a former Chicagoan, can you also empathize with what Bears fans are going through? I mean, I imagine you were a Bears fan. I don't know, maybe you were calling for Abe Gibron's head or Jim Dooley's head at one point. I mean, do you understand the passion and kind of what Bears fans have to be feeling right now?
Well, I was a Bears fan growing up, and I never called for any coach's head. Neil Armstrong is a very good friend of mine, and I used to love watching when Buddy Ryan was Bears defense coordinator in Ditka, and 85 Bears, all those things. That's kind of when I was kind of growing up. But the Bears fans are obviously, and the Chicago people in general are great, great people, and they've always been very, very passionate about the Bears and the Cubs and the White Sox. I don't put a lot of time and effort into worrying about them right now.
I guess also in that regard, with the way things are going, is there a heightened sense of opportunity to kind of kick a team while it's down or just beat a team while it's struggling? Do you see this as an even greater opportunity considering what I'm sure you've seen the Bears of points they've allowed in the last two games?
Yeah, but in the NFL, every game is so different. Every week is so different. We got thumped pretty good by Green Bay when we played up there on Thursday night. We are, and this is the honest to God truth, we are so concerned about what we do and how we do it and how we prepare that, we study them and everything they do, but we don't look at it that way. We look at it, this is a one game, and we gotta prepare and play our best, and the Bears will play very well as well.
Mike, this is Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune. What are some of the things a coach can do in times of crisis to lead his team out of it?
Well, we've had a little bit of crisis here this year, too. I think every coach finds the that not everything goes smooth as you like in an NFL season. But, I don't know. The things, and I can only speak for myself, and the thing we've tried to do is just focus on continually get better, focus on the little things, keep the messages same as much as we can, and we're trying to develop a mindset here and a program and how we want to play and how we want to go, and so setbacks obviously happen, and you just gotta, I don't know, I try to meet everything head on. Just kind of go that way.
How challenging can it be to maintain that type of focus and stay that course when things are going off the track a bit?
Well, I think that's why you have a lot of leaders in the locker room. You have coaches that you trust, that because I know for me, I'm a fairly emotional guy, and I get up and down in a number of times in the day. And, you know, it helps to have people that you can rely on. And but, you know, we all have principles that we believe in. And, you know, so that's the thing I keep leaning back on with us. Is, you know, what are our core values and our principles, and what we have to do to go forward in the right direction.
What are some of those principles?
Hard work, trying to play smart, trying to coach a lot of technique, trying to be fundamentally sound, trying to eliminate mistakes, not beating yourself. A lot of those things, and then, you know, the way we work and the way we prepare. This team, I've said all along, is a good, hard-working team, and we've stuck to that pretty good, even through the hard times.
Mike, with the way Adrian's situation mushroomed there in September, obviously there's not a manual for how to do that and get through that. Specifically, how do you hit a situation like that head-on with your guys?
I'm an honest person, and I try to be extremely honest with the team. Sometimes they don't like it when I'm honest, but, you know, that's just how I am and who I am. And so I think the same thing with that situation. I try to be as honest as I could and as straightforward with the team as I possibly can be. And, you know, as you said, there was no manual for it, so a lot of it was I felt like was the right thing to do. Sit down and you think about the different scenarios, and then you talk to people and you come up with what you think is the right solution. And if you know, we're all wrong, but you do your best.
Mike, Eli Cabron from ChicagoBears.com. How would you say some of your new pieces on defense are fitting in, specifically Corey Wooten and also rookie Anthony Barr?
You know, Corey is a great kid. He's he's been a real pleasure to coach. He's very smart, obviously, coming from Northwestern. He's coached well in the past, and he's doing a good job in our rotation package as far as helping us in different situations. He does anything you ask him to do. Excuse me. Anthony Barr has been a really good player. Rarely makes the same mistake twice. He's very conscientious. He's a terrific kid, and he's a big, strong, fast athlete that seems to be getting better all the time.
Mike, what did you like most about Teddy back in May before the draft and through these first six starts? What stood out to you most?
Well, you know, one of the things when I was talking to Teddy when he first came in here, they had to do a check. They thought he had a murmur or something. So he came back in after the test and asked him, this was during the draft process, and I said, is your heart okay? He said, no, they said it's too big. From that point on, I had a soft spot for him. But, you know, he after the draft, he stayed here. He did not go home after the press conference, stayed here and studied. There's been nothing that he has done ever about himself. He's very accurate with the football. He works extremely hard. He studies. We feel very, very fortunate to have him.
What's the challenge for a rookie quarterback of having that presence almost instantly, you know, when they start and they've got to command a whole huddle and a whole offense?
Well, the thing, Teddy is not the type of guy where he's going to demand respect. He's more of a guy that has earned respect from the veterans by the way that he works and the way he prepares and the way he performs in practice every day. So, you know, I think each guy is a little bit different, but I think Teddy kind of, and maybe it's a little bit of his personality too, but when he's come in here, he just tries to be Teddy. He doesn't try to be anybody else. He doesn't try to emulate anyone else. And, you know, it's worked out for him, and the vets really respect him.
Mike, you're facing a defense this week that's given up like 48, 50 points the last couple games. Seriously, what concerns do you have about facing a defense that just looks like it can't stop anybody?
Well, I've looked at more than just those two tapes, and, you know, they played good against San Francisco. They've played well throughout the course of the year. They played good against the Jets, Atlanta. So I don't know. I keep saying each week is a new week, and it always is in the NFL. That's why you see the scores fluctuate so many times. But, you know, again, we're focused on what can Teddy do well? What can Jerick McKinnon do well? What can Darrell Patterson and Bennings and these guys do well? And well, you always prepare for the other team, but we haven't changed that philosophy. It's really, you know, how do we get better each and every week? And I think if we do that, we take care of the football. We don't make mistakes. We don't get sacks. We tend to play pretty good, and regardless of who we're playing.
Mike, is any part of you still a Bears fan?
Well, you know, I grew up there for a long time. My dad was a high school football coach, and I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but I do have a fondness for the Bears just because growing up there, they were always kind of my team. You know, I've been with a few teams now in the NFL, so, as a guy growing up and playing at Lockport High School, Bears were my team.
You sure you didn't want to fire Abe Gibron?
That might have been before my time, but Bears have such a great, and you know, I honestly can remember going up when Buddy Ryan was the defense coordinator. I used to go up to Platteville, and I think I was coaching at Washington State at the time, or probably. And I used to go up watch him practice and sit in on some of the defensive meetings, and got a chance to meet Walter Payton and all those great. I mean, there's so many of them, but I was, you know, kind of how you are. You're even in awe at that point. And I actually had Buddy Ryan come and speak at the clinic when I was coaching at Weber State. He flew out to Ogden, Utah, and did a clinic for us out there and on the 46th defense. So I do have a lot of ties to in Chicago area.
Mike, with some of Matt Khalil's ups and downs, what have you seen at the root of some of the inconsistency?
Well, he missed a lot of time in the OTAs. He had a little arthroscopic surgery. And so it's taken him a little while to get his set back. And then his confidence waned some, I think. And I think he's playing better now, and his technique is a lot better. And, you know, and we just, you know, it's like everything else. You just got to keep working through it and keep getting the confidence level that you need, and keep getting better with your techniques and your hand placement.
Coach, you had a chance to work with Geno in Cincinnati, and now you have Sharif there in Minnesota. How important is it to have that strong, that gap penetrator three technique for the front in your defensive scheme?
Well, it's extremely important in the 4-3 defense. You know, Chicago's got a good one in Ratliff. We drafted him as in Dallas. But well, that position allows other guys to do a lot of things. You tend to get some good matchups inside usually, and when I've had good defenses, I've always had a pretty good one. Leroy Glover was good for me in Dallas, and Geno Atkins, and Sharif is a young developing player and getting better, you know, it is extremely important, in my opinion, to have that kind of guy that can be a dominating inside pass rusher.
Like, what was the extent of your interaction with Jared Allen, you know, between the time you got the job and when free agency began?
Not much. I called him once or twice and just, you know, I told him I was just trying to be honest with him. I told him that I didn't know how things would work out, but I respect everything that he's done for the Vikings, and affected him as a football player and as a person, and everything that I heard about him. And we just talked for, you know, it was right after I got the job, and we just talked for a little bit.
What have you seen from him as you watched him on tape this year?
He looks very similar to when I saw him before. You know, he's got excellent pass rush move. He's got a good motor. He does a good job in the running game. He doesn't just run up the field and play, you know, and try to get sacks. I know that, you know, sometimes you get labeled as a pass rusher. That's what people think. But, you know, he's very, very crafty, and he's got good quickness, and he does a good job with his hands.
Mike, why do you feel like you guys have been so successful getting to quarterbacks?
You know, I always think it's a combination of a lot of different things. I think it's the way that you rush, how you rush as a team. I think that's extremely important. Part of it is the coverage that you can get them to hold the ball for a little bit if you can. And then some of it is beating guys one-on-one and trying to find one-on-one matchups. And we've been fortunate this year to be able to get the number of sacks that we've had. And I think it's, you know, everything we try to do defensively here is about being a team defense, playing together as a team, and everybody doing their job. And if things work out, it's good for everyone. We've been preaching that message the day I walked in, and that's why, you know, a guy like Brian Robinson's got 2.5 or 3.5 sacks, and Everson's got 9, but Brian's done a lot of good things in order for Everson to get some, and played a little bit better on the outside covering receivers, which has allowed, you know, I think it's just it's all a combination of guys doing their job and playing good team defense.
Anything else?
Thanks a lot, Mike. I really appreciate it.
We'll see you Sunday.